Tonight, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11. Let me bring us up to speed, if I can, for where we are. We're in a series called End Time Previews. We're looking at the next things that are on God's prophetic calendar. We said, the first of all, what will happen next is the rapture of the church. And there's two things I want you to remember about the rapture of the church. The dead in Christ will rise first. All those in the grave will rise first, meet the Lord in the air. Then we who are alive and remain, that could be us, will meet the Lord in the air. After the rapture of the church, we begin the tribulation period, which we are in now. It starts at chapter 6 of the book of Revelation and goes all the way over into chapter 18, the longest part of the book. Now, we divided the tribulation period, or I'm dividing it in three different sections. First of all, the catastrophes in the tribulation period. And there are basically three sets of judgments that you see in the tribulation period. First of all, you have the seal judgments, seven of them that we've already been over. And then you have the seven trumpet judgments, which we're talking about now. And after we're done with those, we'll get to the seven bowl judgments. So we'll do the catastrophes in the tribulation period. Then we're going to come back and talk about the characters in the tribulation period. Because if you're looking in your Bibles, we're skipping some chapters and we're doing that on purpose. Okay, we'll go back and fill those in. We talk about the different characters that we see in the tribulation period. And then lastly, on the tribulation part of it, we'll talk about the collapses in the tribulation period. Basically in chapter 18, when the one world financial market will collapse, when the one world religion will collapse, the one world government will collapse. That'll be all the way over in Revelation chapter 18. Now, we're in the latter part of the seven trumpet judgments. Again, having done the seven seal judgments, we're in the seven trumpet judgments. Let me see if I can bring us up to speed on what those were. First of all, the first trumpet judgment was simply a judgment that we looked at. Let's look at it, if you will. Or go to the first trumpet is when hell and fire mixed with blood are going to be thrown to the earth, and as a result, a third of the trees and a third, or basically all the grass, will be burned up. A third of the trees and all the grass we burn up. The second trumpet judgment is when a mountain that looks like it's on fire, which could be literal or it could be some sort of meteorite, comes and hits the seas, hits the oceans. And what happens? A third of the seas, the oceans, turn to blood. A third of the living creatures in the seas die. And a third of the ships are destroyed. Then on the third trumpet judgment, we have basically a star that falls from heaven. Do you remember the name of the star? Wormwood, which means bitter, and then a third of the rivers and the springs will become bitter. Under the fourth trumpet judgment, you remember what will happen? A third of the sun, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars will be darkened. That will leave earth a rather dark and a cold place. The fifth trumpet judgment we talked about is when the bottomless pit is opened, and out of the bottomless pit comes something like locusts. We spent a long time talking about those. Do you remember what they're going to have the power to do? They're going to have the power to sting men for 5 months. They're not going to be killed, who they sting, but they're going to have the power to sting them for 5 months. Can you imagine that happening? And then the sixth trumpet, which we went over last week, which is pretty detailed, is basically this. When at the river Euphrates, the cradle of civilization, 200 million demons are going to be let loose. And as a result of that, a third of the world's population is going to die. Now, if you remember back under the fourth seal, do you remember how many of the world's population dies? It was a quarter back then. So now, under the sixth trumpet, a third of the world's population will die. Which brings us to the seventh trumpet judgment. Now, here's what I want to do. It's almost 7 o'clock. I want to go over this. It's a rather detailed. And I plan on stopping after this because here's what's going to happen. I want a stopping point before we take a month off, okay, for various things. So then we'll come back and we'll pick up the seven bowl judgments. Then when we get that done, we will have the catastrophes done in the tribulation period. Then we'll go to the characters, because many of you have been asking me about the different characters in the tribulation period. Then we'll start on those, then go to the collapses, and then we'll go through the rest of the book of Revelation. So let's see what we do on this last trumpet judgment. Does everybody understand where we are? The rapture has taken place. We're in the tribulation period. The seven seal judgments have ended, and now the seven trumpet judgments, which were on the seventh trumpet. Look at it, if you will. Revelation chapter 11. Don't worry about the chapters that we're skipping. We're going to go back and get those. See, if you read the book of Revelation in chronological order, you're going to get confused. Okay? You just are. You got to take it, like I say, the outline first, then fill in the outline, and then it will make sense to you. So Revelation chapter 11, look if you will, all the way over in verse 15. Revelation chapter 11, look at verse 15. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there was loud voices in heaven. The kingdoms of the world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders, circle that phrase right there, 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones, fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We will give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned." Verse 18, "The nations were angry, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, that you should reward your servants and prophets and the saints and those who fear your name, small and great, and shall destroy those who destroy the earth." Then the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the ark of His covenant was seen. Notice that, was seen in His temple, and there were lightnings, noises, thunderings, an earthquake, and great hail. Now, this trumpet is going to announce what's coming after that, which is what? The seven bowl judgments. So this trumpet is going to announce what's coming next, which is the seven bowl judgments, which will conclude the catastrophes in the tribulation period. Now, an announcement has just been made. Look at it again. Revelation 11 and verse 15. Look at it again. Throw it up again for me. "Then the seventh angel sounded, and there was a loud voice in heaven saying," now notice this announcement. There's an announcement being made. And it says, "The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever." You say, what is this, Brother Ron? I believe this is a preview of something that's not taken place yet. It previews for us that time when the Lord will come after the tribulation. The Lord will come after the tribulation. It's not called the rapture. What's it called? The second coming of Christ. All right? So this previews for us a time after the tribulation period, okay? And the kingdoms of the world who are now ruled by Satan, okay, now in the day we live, but also in this tribulation time, in this period that we're talking about, will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. Now, this is talked about throughout the Bible. This is really, when you get a hold of this, should excite you. Because it's going to come down to the time where it's all going to be given back over to Christ. And what is Christ going to do? Give it back over to who? The Father. Look at it, if you will. Hold your place in Revelation chapter 11. And look, if you will, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul talks about this event that we're previewing now under this seventh trumpet that's going to take place after the tribulation period. Okay? Look what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 24. He says this, "Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power." What's going to happen, what we're seeing now that's previewed, that's going to happen after the tribulation period, is exactly what Paul was talking about. When he, which is Jesus, will deliver the kingdom to God the Father, and then what's going to happen? He'll put an end to all rule and all authority and all power. Won't you be glad when that day comes? But now also, look if you will, or keep your finger in Revelation 11. Go back to the book of Daniel. Can you find Daniel? We were in Daniel Sunday, weren't we? Daniel previews this same event in Daniel, and I wish I had time to read all of chapter 2, but we don't. So look, if you will, in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44. This is what Daniel sees. "And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people." Now watch. "It shall break in pieces and consume all those kingdoms, and it shall stand forever and ever." Do you see that? So in this seventh trumpet judgment that's about ready to announce the first bowl judgment, we have a preview of something that's going to happen at the end of the tribulation period when Jesus comes back at his second coming, and everything that comes, every power and authority that comes up against him and God will be destroyed, and he will hand over the world and all it contains to the Father, and what a glorious time that will be. Now, go back to Revelation chapter 11, if you will. And under this seventh trumpet, you see something very interesting. You see 24 elders are sitting before God and are on their thrones. Now, look at Revelation 11. Now skip down to verse 16 because we need to see about this and talk about who are these 24 elders. Look at verse 16 of Revelation chapter 11. "And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God." Now, here's a question we need to ask. Every time in the book of Revelation, when you come to something like that, you come to a phrase, you got to stop and you got to figure out who is John talking about. And how do you do that? In Bible study, but especially in the book of Revelation, you got to go back and try to figure out 24 elders. Have I ever seen 24 elders before in the book of Revelation? And we have. Okay? Keep your finger in Revelation 11, but go back to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. Now, Revelation chapter 4, do you remember what that's about? That's the rapture of the church, right? That's when the church is going to be raptured. Now look at Revelation chapter 4. Look at verse 4. Okay? That's the scene in heaven. That's when the doors open in heaven. That's when the church is raptured. Look at verse 4 now. "Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders." You see what you have to do in the book of Revelation? When you saw the term 24 elders, you had to ask yourself the question, have I ever seen them before? And the answer to this question is, we've seen them before. We've seen them in Revelation chapter 4, verse 4. "Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting," now watch, "clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads." And we'll get to that in just a minute. Now, who are these 24 elders? Now, let me give you what you have to do in Bible study. You have to do a process of elimination. Okay? We went back to Revelation 4 and verse 4, and we found them. Okay? Now the question is, who are they? Now, the process of elimination goes like this. I don't believe that they're angels sitting on 24 thrones. Now, why wouldn't I believe those were angels? Because in the Bible, you never see angels sitting on thrones. Is that correct? You never see that. So, we can ascertain that that is not angels sitting on these thrones. Now, let me give you some other things that you might have heard of. Now, this is what I believe, because you're going to hear some of these things I'm about ready to tell you. Because there's a lot of debate on who these 24 elders are sitting on these thrones around the throne of God. I don't believe they're the 12 tribes of Israel with two representatives from each tribe. Some of you might have heard that. I've heard that before. I don't believe that's who it is. Why? Because the nation of Israel is pictured in Romans chapter 11 as obtaining salvation as a whole. Okay? When will Israel obtain salvation as a whole? Do they have it now? No. When is that going to happen? Okay? It's going to take place during this tribulation period. Finally, the eyes of Israel are going to be opened, because Israel has always been looking for what? Their Messiah. Jesus came, and what happened? They didn't see Him as the Messiah. And these 2,000 years later, what are they still looking for? They're still looking for this Messiah. All right? So, Israel as a whole now, as a whole, basically gets saved, if you will, or we could say their eyes open to the Messiah, basically all at one time, and it happens here in the book of Revelation. It happens here during the tribulation period, okay? This reality of them all being saved, eyes open to the Messiah, is seen here in the tribulation. Remember chapter 6 through chapter 18, okay? But you first see them mentioned in Revelation chapter 4, okay? These 24 elders. Now, who's going to be instrumental in helping Israel see who the true Messiah is during the tribulation period? When the 144,000 go out and evangelize the world, and most of Israel will be saved. You say, how's that going to happen, Brother Ron? Remember, in the middle of the tribulation period, you got to go back to the seals when the blood's being shed. What's going to happen? The third temple's going to be built. And what's going to happen? Satan's going to go in there, the abomination of desolation. You heard that term, right? That's what that means. He's going to go in that third temple, and he's going to demand what? He's going to demand worship. And when he doesn't get worship, what's going to happen? Blood's going to flow. Okay? It's at that time that these 144,000, which we'll study in detail when we get to the characters of tribulation, are going to realize, they're going to get saved. They're going to realize that they've been duped, and they're going to take the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ to the world, but mainly back to Israel. At that time, Israel as a whole, if you will, their eyes are going to be open to who the Messiah is, and we could even say they are going to be saved. Okay? But we see the elders, okay, in Revelation, these elders, these 24 elders in Revelation chapter 4. The 144,000 who are going to be instrumental in taking this to the Jews in this tribulation period, we don't see them till Revelation chapter 7. Okay? Well after Revelation chapter 4. So I do not believe these are 12 tribes of Israel with two representatives from each one. I don't believe that's what this is talking about. Now, so I don't believe they're the 12 apostles and the 12 tribes of Israel. Anybody ever heard that? I don't believe that's who they are. The 24 elders who appear here in Revelation appear as a unified group, not two groups of 12. Okay? 12 apostles and 12 tribes of Israel. So what am I doing? Listen, all I'm doing is going down and eliminating who I believe that these 24 elders could not be. Okay? Who do I believe they are? Here's where I believe these 24 elders are. They are the raptured saints who represent the church. That's who they are. Okay? The 24 elders are the raptured saints. Because what happened in Revelation chapter 4? In verse 1, verse 2, that's the rapture. Where do we see the elders come on the scene? In verse 4. I believe these are the raptured saints who represent the church. Okay? Where do you see them first? Right after the rapture. Revelation 4 and verse 4. Now, why do I believe that? Okay, now, if I believe that, and I believe that's who these 24 elders are sitting on thrones. They're the raptured saints that represent the church. Now, I got to determine why I believe that. Now, I'm going to tell you the reasons why I believe that's who they are. First of all, they're singing a new song. Now, Revelation chapter 5. Look back there. Revelation chapter 5. Look at verse 8. Revelation 5. Revelation 5 and verse 8. Now, when he had taken the scroll, and the four living creatures and the 24 elders, there they are, fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Now, notice verse 9. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us. Circle those two words. Redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. I believe these are the raptured saints, which represent the church. And in Revelation 5, and especially verse 9, what are they saying? What's the song they're singing? They have redeemed us. Have we been redeemed? That's us. Okay? That represents the church because they have a new song which speaks of what? What does our new song speak of? Our conversion. That's what it speaks of. That also, they are what they're clothed in. Now go back to Revelation chapter 4. Just look over the page. Now, let's go back to verse 4. And the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders. There they are again. Now watch, sitting clothed in white robes. The church at the marriage supper of the Lamb, which we want to get to, way over in chapter, I believe it's 18, will be wearing this fine linen, clean and bright. So what am I doing? I'm looking at these 24 elders. I'm saying they're the raptured church, saints representing the church. And I'm giving the reasons why I believe. Because they're singing a new song about their conversion. The Bible says they're in what? They're in white robes, which pictures us around the marriage supper of the Lamb, wearing fine linen, clean and bright, which is a reference to white garments. Another reason is that they're wearing crowns. Now, look at Revelation 4. Look at the end of verse 4. Knowing that they were clothed in white robes, notice they had crowns of gold on their head. Now, not a king's crown. There's two types of crowns in the Bible. Not a diadem. Have you heard the word diadem? OK. Okay? We have hymns, right, Greg, that talk about the diadem. That's the crown of a king. That's not the Greek word that's used here. Okay? But it's the victor's crown. It's another Greek word called stephanos. Have you heard that term? Stephanos, which is a victor's crown. What does that speak of? That speaks of the rewards that we're going to get as Christians at the judgment seat of Christ. Do you realize that you're going to get rewards at the judgment seat of Christ? Okay? Quickly. Keep your fingers wherever they are in the book of Revelation. Go now to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So they got the victor's crowns on their head, these 24 elders. These raptured saints that represent the church. Now notice about these crowns. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 10. According to the grace of God which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Verse 12. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, we can pick from that group, which I hope we all do, or wood, hay, straw. And each one's work will become clear. For the day, my Bible capitalizes day. That is what? That's the judgment seat of Christ when we as believers will be judged, not for our sins, but for the work that we've done for Christ. Don't get that confused with the great white throne of judgment. Pray God you won't stand before that. That's where lost people stand. The day, the judgment seat of Christ, will declare it because it will be revealed by fire. Now, again, I told you what I believe that fire is. Do you remember? Revelation chapter 1, the Bible says that Jesus had eyes like flames of fire. When we stand before God, or before the Lord Jesus Christ, before God, that His eyes are going to pierce us like flames. Now watch, if we build our lives on gold, silver, and precious stones, what's the fire going to do? It's just going to refine it. But what if we build our life as Christians on wood, hay, and straw? We did what the world did. We lived our lives for ourselves. What's going to happen when Jesus looks at us with those piercing eyes? It's all going to be burnt up. Do you realize many, many Christians are going to stand before God? Okay? They came to church one Sunday and skipped three. Never picked up their Bible, never prayed, never witnessed, very rarely gave money to the work of God. They're going to stand before God. Will they be saved? Yes. But their whole life, literally, is going to go up in smoke. The fire, verse 13 again, will test each one's work of what sort it is. The Lord's going to test from us two things, our motives and our deeds. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we won't turn there. It's right there, but I don't want to go to it. But the motive of why we did what we did, and then the actual deed or the work that we did. Verse 14, if anyone's work which he has built on endures the fire, is built with what? Gold, silver, and precious stones, and not wood, hay, or straw. Okay? If anyone's work which he has built on endures, he will receive a reward. There it is, crown. That's what these 24 elders are wearing. Do you see that? The stephanos, the victor's crown. Folks, listen. I want to be able to have crowns. Not for me, because what are we going to do with those crowns? We're going to lay them before the throne of Jesus. Because apart from Him, we can do nothing. That's what this is talking about. Verse 15, if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. You'll still be saved. I know some people think, oh, I'm glad. No, you won't be glad in that day. Well, there won't be no tears in heaven. Yes, there will be. I'm sorry to tell you that. Now, once we get to chapter 21 and 22, actually in heaven will be no tears. But before we get there, as Christians, many tears are going to be shed because we're going to look at our lives and see them burn up for Jesus Christ. Do you see that? If anyone's work is burned, he will be saved. He will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. So, what's it say? If anyone's work which he's built on endures, he received a reward, he received the crown. Now notice quickly, and we got to stop. These 24 elders, go back to Revelation chapter 11, are praising God for some things. The church is praising God for some things. First of all, for the nations that are being judged. Look, if you will, Revelation 11. Look, if you will, in verse 18. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come. In the time of the dead, they should be judged. And you shall reward your servants, the prophets, and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and shall destroy those who destroy the earth. The 24 elders are praising God for the nations that are being judged, okay? For the prophets who spoke the word. Look at it again in verse 18. Your servants, the prophets, and the saints. They're praising God. We as the church are praising God that finally judgment is coming to the nations. It's coming to Satan. It's coming to evil man. It's coming from the world that wanted nothing to do with the Lord. But we're also praising the prophets. Old Testament, New Testament. We're going to praise God for everyone that took the name of Jesus on their lips and told somebody else about Him. I'm going to tell you, in that day, every preacher will be exalted. I know many of them have been treated so harshly in this world, like they were nothing. We'll get rid of you and we'll find another one to take your place. Oh my God, be careful. Because there's going to be a day where they're going to be exalted if they faithfully preach the Word of God. So the church is going to do what? Okay? Praise God for the nations that are being judged, for the prophets that spoke His Word, and for the saints who fear His name. Look again at verse 18. That you should reward your servants, the prophets, and the saints, those who fear your name. Every one of us who reverence the name of the Lord. Every one of us who tried to lead our families to come to church and to live for God. A wife standing right next to you, raising children for the glory of God. Saints that said as they went to work, would you come to church? We invite you to come to our church. Saints who were not afraid to speak the word of God to people. Oh, what a day. Then in verse 19, Revelation 11, 19. Look, then the temple of the God was opened in heaven, and the ark of His covenant was seen in the temple, and there were lightnings, noises, thunderings, an earthquake, and great hail. In verse 19 here, the ark of the covenant is opened in heaven, which symbolizes what? The presence of God. In the Holy of Holies, where the ark is located, remember? And he's telling the Jews. Now, what you don't know here, the Jews, for the last half of the tribulation, are going to be tried to be trampled down and taken out. In fact, we hadn't gone over it yet, but in Revelation 11 and verse 2, it talks about this city, okay, which is Jerusalem, that it's going to be trodden underfoot by the Gentiles for 42 months, which would be the last half of the tribulation period. Now watch what's going to happen. In this verse 19 of Revelation 11, in the middle of all this happening, God's going to open up heaven. And you're going to be able to look up to heaven. You know what you're going to be able to see? The ark of God, which symbolizes God. You're going to be able to see that from earth. And you know what it's going to do? is going to tell these Jews for the last 3.5 years have went through literal hell. Many of them martyred. Many of them hated. Can you imagine? Okay. They're going to be able to look up to heaven. You know what they're going to be able to see? That God is still in control and His presence is with them. Make no mistake about it. God has never left the Jewish people and He never will. And the best thing the United States of America can do is always side with Israel. The day we stop siding with Israel, we're in trouble. But can you imagine that day when they've gone through 42 months of being chased down, tried to be killed, many of them have been, injured, slaughtered. God's going to open up heaven. They're going to know what that ark looks like. They're going to know if that ark is there, God's there. And they're going to know God hadn't forsaken them. God hadn't left them.